Psalm 127, if you would please, Psalm 127. And again, I'd like to preach this morning about that very topic entitled The Sanctity of Life. I'm so thankful for those that have stood for that throughout the centuries. And our forefathers stood for that. I'm very grateful. Psalm 127, a very familiar psalm, I'm hoping to many of you, talking about the home and the wonderful gift of children. Psalm 127, let's start there. Verse 1, we might as well. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, how many know what he's talking about? You tried to build your own house? It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. Now, notice what he says. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It's a vain for you to rise up early. Praise the Lord. Underline that. How many don't get up early? Okay, so it is to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Now notice verse 3. Lo, listen, look, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, a wonderful psalm to look at this morning, entitled it, The Sanctity of Life. We believe today, obviously, unequivocally, that we should protect and stand up for these babies. Now, I know you agree with me. And I know that there are some ladies and others that have had to go through a very traumatic situation like that. And so we think about today. We are all compassionate and loving for these people and for these young ladies and these young men. But we want to let them know, as Ms. Paulette already mentioned, there is an option. There's another option. This world is pushing on them to go ahead and get rid of it. It's nothing but a mass of tissue inside of them, which we don't believe. We believe that this baby is known of God from the very beginning. We know that Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says of Jeremiah, he says, before you were even conceived, before you were even born, he says, I knew you. And I sanctified you, meaning he set him apart for a specific reason. Before he was even born, before he even came out of the womb, he already had a reason and a purpose for his life. You know, God has a purpose for your life today. God has a purpose for every person on this planet. But it is up to us, you know this, our free will, we must make the choice. We must make the choice. Now think through this with me this morning, that we think today and see in Scripture that children are truly a heritage of the Lord. The greatest investment you can make in this world is in your children, isn't it? You will reap, usually, hopefully, prayerfully, great dividends from those children. If you'll do it right, if you'll follow the Bible and do it the right way, you will see it come back. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that God has blessed our church and taken care of us so richly. And I thank God for it. Now we see throughout the Scriptures that the Lord clearly lays out for these people. Psalm 139, he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I know the Lord made me. I know God created me for a reason. We've got a lot of people today struggling with a lot of emotional issues and a lot of self-hatred. They don't like who they are. They don't like the way they are, the color of their skin, the way they talk, the way they, the house they grew up in, the pedigree they have, the heritage they have. The psalmist says, though, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm something special to God. The Bible says of Mary that she was great with child. Remember that. She's not great with a mass of tissue. She's great with child. That word meaning a living being inside of her. We think about today, the Bible's very clear. God loves, obviously, and protects the children. Now, the questions arise. We know this, and everybody asks the thing. Why does God allow certain things to happen? The answer is, we don't know. We must trust a loving God. We must trust an all-controlling, all-seeing God. But we must understand that we are given the great responsibility to take care of these precious, innocent children. Do you have the first slide, Brother Adam? I want you to see this with me. If you can see this, I know it's a little bit small, but notice this. This is the number of abortions, according to the CDC, from 2011 to 2020. 2011 was one of the higher years, and that number there, if you can't see it, it says 720,000 in 1 year. 720,000. Can you believe that? That's in one country. One country. Now, the untold hundreds of thousands around Europe, Africa, Asia, around the world. Can you imagine? The millions and millions, that's 720. Notice 2020 is the last one there. Roughly around 640, 630,000. I don't know if my numbers are that correct. But you think about it, this is the CDC. This is something that we look at. That's incredible. You think about that. That's something of a genocide. That's an entire generation, friends. Now remember, we've said it before, we are one generation away from extinction as Christians. As Christianity unfolds, one generation is wiped out. One generation drops the ball and rejects the Word of God. It'll be clean. We'll go back to the dark ages. Now think about this. This ought to stir your heart. I know it has. I know most of you know these numbers already. You watch the news. You follow some of it. But our mainstream media does not push this kind of stuff. They water the numbers down. They don't want these to be put out there. This is something we ought to be concerned with. This is something that ought to stir our hearts and make us downright angry. And we ought to have a type of a righteous indignation, a righteous hatred for these things. Proverbs 6 says that there are six things the Lord hates. Proud look, lying tongue. You know what the third one is? Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now go to the next one, Brother Adam, because here's something that people often ask. Now again, I apologize for it's so small. But if you can see this, some people say, well, the vast majority of abortions are due to incest and rape. A young lady got raped by a family member, or incest happened. And well, here's the numbers. Look at this. 0.3% are rape and incest. 0.2% is a life major or bodily function, abnormality of some sort. 1.3% is a fetal abnormality. Something's wrong with the baby. 2.5% is physical health. Something's wrong with the mother. She can't physically give birth. Notice this. 95.7% is elective and unspecified reasons, meaning they chose. Nothing wrong with the baby, nothing wrong with mama, just a life decision. Well, it's not convenient. I'll have to stop going to school. I'll have to change my life up. It'll mess up my finances. I can't work it. 95.7%. So you can't sit there as the world pushes on us. It says, there's a lot of, vast majority of the cases are because of incest or rape or unwanted. No, friends, we know this to be true. And this is exactly what the Bible says. Now, God comes back and he warns them. Now, again, we believe biblically, we don't believe in protection, sexual protection. We believe in abstinence, complete and utter abstinence. Okay, there's something to be said about that. Boy, that's kind of difficult to understand, Brother Tim, in this day and age. Yes, it is. Listen to Deuteronomy 12. In fact, let's go there. Deuteronomy 12, because I want you to see this. Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Notice this with me. We'll be looking at this a little bit more throughout the month. Verse 29. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. Very interesting. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee. Now remember, this is wicked, pagan nations. Whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. Romans 12 says what? Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. You know what the problem with the average Christian and church today? They're trying to be like the world, completely opposite of what the Bible says. After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. But I want you to notice this, verse 31. Circle this in your Bible. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination of the Lord which he hateth, Proverbs 6, hath they done unto their gods, even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Now if you've done any world history, or in this case, church history, you know this to be true. The nation of Israel came into the promised land and Joshua warned them and said, don't be like them. If you want to serve the gods of the Amorites, you want to serve the gods in whose land ye dwell, then go ahead. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And what he warned them against was being associated and following and emulating the world around them. And one of the things they would do, now later on the nation of Israel would follow suit. They would become so sick and so sidetracked and so seduced by these pagan gods, they would follow them and worship them to the point of even burning their own children on the fire. What they would do would they take these gods like Ashtaroth, these gods like Molech, this god like Ra of Egypt, the god like Baal. You know what they required? If you're truly going to be a follower of mine, I want blood. Now, we're finding a lot of stuff out about Hollywood. If you're following the news, there's a lot of stuff in Hollywood coming out. One of them being there is some kind of secret society or whatever the case is, and having to do with what? Satan worship, one, but shedding of blood. Now, they don't want a 45-year-old female's blood. That's contaminated. They don't want a 30-year-old male's blood. What do they want? Baby blood. Now, I don't understand all of that, and you can research some of that yourself. It's sickening. What did they require? They required the baby's blood because it's this pure blood. Now, that's just sick and satanic. Now, what are we doing in America today? We're doing the exact same thing. I don't know what it is. My wife used to work next to a Planned Parenthood. Her office was right next to it. The wall was a very thin wall right next to Planned Parenthood where she used to work as a teenage girl. And she said they would watch as little girls, young girls, 15, 14-year-old, walk in and they'd hear some stuff in the back. She said on several occasions she heard the screech of a baby and then utter silence. I don't know what was going on in there, but I think we can guess. Now think about this today. God says you don't be a part of that. You don't follow those things. And woe be to the Christian in the church today that gets so close to the world, gets cuddled up with the world, gets all comfortable with listening to their music and listening to their and watching their filthy movies and being okay with that stuff and following suit and dressing like the world and associating with the world. Woe be to the Christian in the church today, because there's coming a day when God will put a dividing line in the sand. And I want to encourage you with this. Paul says this, you make sure you be found of Him in peace and not in sin. Sin brings turmoil. Sin brings unrest to you. Today, let me say this again. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today would be the day. We wouldn't embarrass you. We don't point you out. We don't have you come up here. I take you privately aside in my office and I share with you the wonderful news of the gospel. Today's the day. They came and asked Paul one time, when should I get saved? He said, now's the day. Now's the accepted time. We talked a little bit on Wednesday night, but there's an urgency within the Bible to get saved now, to make a decision for Christ now. Why? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. I don't know if my casket's in town. I don't know if I'll make it to Friday. None of us do. I want to know where I'm going when I die. Now, coming back to this. The numbers don't lie. We know that. The psalmist says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I made something special. How many doctors have we aborted that maybe had the cure to incurable diseases? How many physicians have we aborted that would grow up maybe one day and be something great and would lead a great revival? How many babies and pastors and evangelists have we aborted that would maybe lead a great worldwide revival or a great pastor or maybe just a pastor on the backside of the mountain with a little church? I don't know. I'm just saying, how many? We don't know. Isn't that very sad to think about? We could see a great thing take place, but we're coming to the end, I believe, of time. If you follow your Bible, you know there's something called the great apostasy of the church right at the end. We're getting there real close. The word apostasy means a willful falling away. The average church today is willfully falling away from this book. All in the name of Jesus, by the way. We love Jesus, we follow Jesus, but you don't follow the book. You don't follow the book. You got to follow the book. Why? That's our instruction manual for life. It's not a book written by man. God used man to pen it, but it's inspired by God. It's a holy book. It's a preserved book. It's about time you go ahead and accept that. One day Jesus was walking the old dusty trails of this old earth. And he sat down because he was tired. And he sat there and took a sigh. Whew. His apostles came around him and sat with him. And out of the city came a group of little babies, little kids. Probably 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids. And as kids are, you know how they are. They ran right up to Jesus. Are you Jesus? Yeah, we heard about you, Jesus. And they jumped up on his lap. They probably started pulling on his hair and his beard, messing around. And the disciples said, hey, back up now. Don't you know who this is? Jesus, the Son of God. Come on now. And Jesus says what? Chill, it's okay. Calm down. I used to teach junior church for about 10 years. And I enjoyed teaching the junior church. And we had some crazy times. But you know how kids are. And I had to come up, I came up with I almost got fired a few times because the pastor said, Brother Tim, can I talk to you a minute? I said, yes, sir. He said, did you have Sardine Sunday in junior church? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's not a good idea. I said, oh, okay. We had Sardine Sunday and I took out a can of sardines and said, who wants to eat a sardine? And if you do, you get a prize. And every boy on the front row, oh yeah, I do. And one kid came up and he said, yeah. And I said, okay, open wide. And he opened his mouth and I dropped it right in his mouth and he started to gag and throw up, you know. I said, oh, no, get the trash can. we had sauerkraut. No, what's the other one? Horseradish sundae. I said, who wants to eat a big spoonful of horseradish? Oh, I do. And we had a young boy that brought his dad for the first time, and his dad was with us, and he said, oh, I love horseradish. I said, would you take a spoonful of it to just show the kids? Oh, yeah. He was kind of a tough guy. Well, he took a whole spoonful, and he started to get sick. You know, I was like, oh, I'm about to kill the visitor. You know, I'm so sorry, sir. But that's how kids are. You know how that goes. And I've had kids, and you probably have teaching kids. I had a kid, boy, they throw stuff at you. They want to fight you. They want to beat you up and other things like that. But you go through, and they said, Jesus said, now calm down, fellas. It's okay. And then he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. For such, you know what the rest is? It's the kingdom of God. Let me clarify something again that I'm asked often. What about these babies? Where are they? Where'd they go? We believe according to the scripture. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 23, if you recall the story, David has really messed up with Bathsheba. He committed an adulterous relationship with her, and then he had her husband killed. You remember the story? Well, she conceives a baby out of that relationship. And he prays and he says, oh God, forgive me. Psalm 51, oh Lord, wash me, cleanse me. I'm so sorry. He repents of his sin, but there's still consequences to the sin. And the baby is born, but the baby is very sick. And it says David goes in and he fasts and he prays and he fasts and he prays. And Lord, save the baby, save the baby. And his servants come in, and before they say anything, he looks at them and he sees their sad countenance. And he says, I already know. You don't have to tell me. It's dead, isn't it? He said, yes, the baby died last night. And then David makes a very fascinating statement. He says this, he won't come to me. That baby won't come back from the dead. But he says, I shall go to him. I shall go to him. Oh, thank you, brother. Yes, I shall go to him. Isn't that interesting? Now, what do we believe? We believe these babies are in the presence of the Lord Jesus. We believe these babies are in the presence of the Lord. They're in heaven. We believe that. We believe in something called the age of accountability. God is not a cruel God. God is not an unjust God. A child or a mentally challenged person that does not have the ability to understand right from wrong or evil from good, sin from not sinning, we believe God takes them home. Those of us that do know right from wrong, we willfully choose to sin. We willfully mess up. We disobey the word of God, and there are consequences to that. That's called sin, and that sin must be paid for. And we come to Jesus Christ and accept his gift. It's called a free gift. You don't work for it. You don't say, Lord, here's 20 bucks. I want to pay for the gift. You would insult the gift giver, wouldn't you? It's a gift. He paid the price. So we believe these babies, these innocent, sometimes unborn babies, are with the Lord. Now think about this today. Very interesting to see that God loves every one of them. We know that. God desires every one of them to grow and see this. Now, I remind you of this. Satan is at the lead of all of this. He's led it from the beginning of time. He's always pushed. In the very beginning, he had a man by the name of Abel. Abel was a righteous man. He brought of the flock to the Lord as an offering. His brother was Cain. Cain brought of the field, of the fruit of the ground, and it was a pathetic gift. It wasn't the best. He brought him the leftovers. He kept the best for himself, and God was displeased with that. Well, what happened? He went ahead and rose up and killed his brother. 1 John talks about this. He says, wherefore slew he him? Why did he kill him? Why did he kill his brother? Because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. You know why Satan wants to kill these babies? So they don't ever grow up, hear the gospel, get saved, and then lead other people to Christ. He wants to keep as many people as he can out of heaven, out of a paradise that we look forward to. Now think through this. As we see, approximately almost 53 million babies have been aborted. 53 million! Oh, friends, we're in a mess today. And it's not getting better. It's not getting better. There is something to be said of this, that a child is spoken of throughout the Bible, that God knows the children. God is working in the child's heart. We have young people today that have already made decisions to serve the Lord at 8, 9, 10 years old. They already know. They already know. They know what's right from wrong. You have little kids in the home, you know that. You ever go back in the nursery, you know they know right from wrong. She took my toy. Why'd you hit her on the head? She took my toy. You don't do that. Well, there's something to be said of that. They know what they're doing. We see and find that God has a perfect plan for every single person. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. If you're there, go there with me. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, towards the back of your Bible. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Notice what he says. And that from a what? A child. That word child carries with it, we think of a child as maybe a 6, 7, 8-year-old. The word child carries with it all the way from infancy. And that from a child that has known what? The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says to Timothy, listen, from a child you've known the Word of God. From a child you've known the ways of God. Now, how do we know this? Well, we know in chapter 1 he talks about this. He says that your mother and grandmother, two ladies, Eunice and Lois, they taught Timothy. Timothy didn't have a father. Timothy's father was a Greek man. He married a Jewish girl, had Timothy. Probably, no doubt, according to the Greeks believed in abortion. I don't know. He probably told his mother, go ahead and just get rid of it. I don't want it. I don't want a half-breed kid. I don't want a half-Jewish kid. The Greeks, obviously, you know that, didn't have a lot of a love for the Jews. And she said, no, I'm going to keep the baby. I'm going to go ahead and keep him. Not only am I going to keep him, I'm going to raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to help him. I'm going to read him the Scriptures. You ought to be reading your babies the Scriptures every night. You ought to be sitting down as a family every evening and getting open the Bible and reading a couple chapters out of Psalm, the Psalms or Proverbs or something. You get the Word of God in the hearts of these kids. You get the Word of God so when they get older, they don't feel so awkward in church. I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before. Talked to a man a while back and he said that, I've never read the Bible before. I said, you're 50 years old, you've never read the Bible? He says, no, never have. And he said, I never will. I said, boy, it'd really benefit you to at least read it through one time. Oh, no, I don't believe that book. What a fool. What a fool. Now think through this. He says, from a child, I'm saying today again, and I'll bring her home here, that we can understand that God has a purpose for every child, for every human being, and it starts at an early age. And if we can get some of these young mothers to understand, there's another way. It's not just a mass of tissue in your stomach. It's something of a child that God has an ordained plan for, and He wants to set it apart for a specific reason and use. And I know all of you agree with me on that. He has a special plan for that child. How many children have we seen grow up without the greatest of circumstances, but really pull themselves up out of their own bootstraps, and they eventually come to know Christ and do something great, great for God, great for God. He says that from a child you've known. Hebrews 11, would you go there with me? A few more passages of Scripture and we'll be done this morning. Hebrews 11, thank you for bringing your Bibles today. Hebrews 11, I hope something said or that you've heard today stirs your heart to want to help out and want to get involved with this organization. Want to get involved and help out the best we can. Again, I said, we don't have the facility or any way really right now at this point in our church to do anything like that. And they've taken the reign on that and really went forward and done something special with it. I'm so thankful. Hebrews 11, notice if you will, verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. There's something different about him. Now, every parent believes that about their child. There's something different. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What's the king's commandment? That's the ruler of the land. Now, I don't know what's going to come down the pipeline in 2024, but it's an election year, and they're going to do something. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what's going to be happening here in the years to come. It still may be 1,000 years before Jesus comes. I don't know. It could be tomorrow. But I know this, that the Bible says very clearly that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're not getting better. The world doesn't get better. That's what the world preaches and teaches. In your schools, you're going to learn that. The philosophy is everything's getting better. We're working to get everything better, but they fail to understand that. Everything's getting worse. It's winding down. We know that. I don't know what they're going to push on us, but the king of the land, the king, the most powerful man on earth at that time, Pharaoh, said, I want you to take every baby boy and throw them in the river to the alligators. And she said, no. Now, we studied this on Wednesday night. And if you didn't get the notes on it, you might want to grab them. I can get you another copy. Romans 13 talks about that. Should the Christian obey the law of the land all the time? No. When the law of the land contradicts this book, we know according to Scripture, we follow the book, don't we? We follow it. And it will face, because of that, we'll face a lot of persecution, right? Because of that, we'll face a lot of turmoil. You'll lose friends. You may be arrested at some point. You may even be killed because of it. Now, I hope that doesn't come down in our generation, but it might. We don't put it past that. It's happened before and time again. But notice this, because he was a proper child, we're going to go ahead and do what God told us to do. We're not afraid of the king's commandment. How can you preach that? How can you stand for that? Don't you know it's a woman's right? Don't you know it's a woman's body? It's her choice. My body, my choice. Sure, we are for that. We're for women's rights. We're for a woman being liberated, or whatever you want to say. We're for a man being liberated. We don't believe in taking an individual and using him as a slave. We believe in liberation. But I want to tell you something. We do not believe that woman has the right over that baby, necessarily. Meaning to take its life. You know that. You know that. Do you have the last slide, Brother Adam? You think about now. This is what we're fighting for, isn't it? Most of you know more than I do about some of this. This is what we're fighting for. We're saying we're going to stand. And when we stand before Christ at the judgment, which I believe will be very soon, we'll have a little group over here to the side, just like we are right now. And we'll get our turn. We'll get our time after we give an account of our lives. Let me clarify that. As Christians, we'll give account of our lives personally and individually. But then I believe will be a little group of us just like this in the back corner. And he'll say, okay, Faithway out of Edgewood, are you here? We'll raise our hands. Yes, sir. We're over here. Did you stand for what was right? Did you stand for what I gave you? Say, yes, we did. You faced persecution because of it? Yeah. You lost friends over it, didn't you? Yeah. You lost a lot? Yeah, we did. But we stood. We stood. We stood. It says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Where did he get that faith from? Mama? Daddy? When they told him the story. Pharaoh's daughter told him the story. I named you Moses because we pulled you out of the water. Water is always associated with Moses. You ought to do that as a Bible study sometime. Moses always had this problem with water. They tried to throw him in the water. He came up out of the water. He came out and led the people with great victory. Woo! They came to the water. Shoot! What are we going to do now? Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. Pharaoh's about ready to come down on us and we're facing the water. We can't cross it. He says, oh, hush up, be still and let the Lord work. And he put his staff down in that water and that water parted, didn't it? Water. Later on, the people would come and say, you brought us out in the wilderness to kill us. There's no water. There's nothing to eat. He rolls his eyes. Lord, why? Me? Why? Lord says, go over there and smite the rock. And he did it. Out came water. Water. Notice what it says, though. Choosing rather. Where'd he get the faith? From his mama. Pharaoh's daughter said, I named you Moses for that reason. You know the story? Well, I've heard a little bit about it. Let me tell you. She pulled him up out of the water. My mama did that. Wasn't she commanded to kill the baby boys? Yeah, but she said, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand for that. You never know, my friends, today you may give one penny, 1 cent, $1 to this organization. You may be there to help. You may be there to encourage. You may be there somewhat of a, especially for us, prayer warriors with them. And you never know what you're doing until we get to heaven. And you'll have some person come up and tug on your pant leg or tap you on the shoulder, say, you don't know me, do you? I say, no. You saved my life. Me? What did I do? Well, not necessarily you, but your church and the people that prayed and you gave and you supported and you did all of that for me. And now I'm here in the presence of the Lord. There'll be others that never got the chance. They were aborted. They were put aside. And they may come up to you as well and tug you a pant leg and tap you on the shoulder and say, well, I wasn't saved by that. They did abort me, but I've been in the presence of the Lord since I was a baby. Amen. I've been here a long time. And I thank God that you stood for that. Okay, I'll stop there this morning because I have more verses, but I want to cover that next week. We think about today. Are you praying? I want to encourage you to pray. Are you studying the Scriptures? I want to encourage you to study the Scriptures. Why? Peter says you ought to study and know so you can give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that's in you. What are we talking about today? Hope, right? Hope. We stand for these babies, the sanctity of life. That's some high hope. What gives you that reason? We tell them, let me tell you about the Bible. Let me tell you the verses that talk about the babies. Let me tell you about how God knows us before we're even born. In fact, he goes so far to talk about the nation of Israel. And he says this, before you were even conceived, I knew you, right? God has a plan for all of us. If we'll follow it, we'll look at more of this next week. But would you do me a favor and pray this week, especially for CareNet, pray for Ms. Paulette and her team over there that are working tirelessly in our community. It's amazing to me that in a small community like this, there's that many, huh? Isn't it? a small community like this, so many people are drug addicted. They're hurting. They're in pain. They're trying right now. A young girl woke up this morning and realized something's wrong. I was supposed to have that today and it didn't come. Something's off. And she went and had her boyfriend go buy it, brought it home, and she got the news. And she's reeling right now. She is going in hyper mode, doesn't know what to do. We're here to help. Praise God for that. All around us, my friends, all around us. Would you pray with me? Would you work together? If God leads you today to donate towards the organization, God leads you to give a gift to them or whatever the case is, however He speaks to your heart, I would encourage you to do that, but especially pray for them. Would you stand with me today?